Doctor, doctor, give me the news.
I got a bad case of we need yous. Talk about Michael Penix Jr. And the word is talking to his doctor. And now, immediately guys on social media go, who's doctor? The doctor? A doctor? No, man. I mean, you know, they call Dr. Kildare in from a hospital. I presume it's somebody who's been working with him. But the story that was breaking today up in Indianapolis after practice is Michael Penix Jr. meeting with a doctor. And if it's 9 months to the day, then it's going to be the 25th, maybe sooner. But we're trying to get that all clear, and that is the big story because, as we've talked about all offseason long, and there's a big write-up today about everybody's quarterback situation around the NFL, is, yes, the ideal situation is Penix to establish that he is the man, to make it an easy decision for the Falcons in May to pick up his fifth-year option because that's the deadline for that, and then we're in business. And then if they want to go find a viable backup, that's the case. But Tua, and if Tua had balled out and really secured the position, Carl, then we could always have tagged him if that's the case. I just think we're going to see Penix sooner than later.
Well, either way, I want to know what gives you full belief that whoever is going to be gives this team a real chance to win. And, you know, this idea that Penix jumps in there and this team takes off, that is the ideal situation. But it may not happen that way. Like, that may not be the way this plays out. So, you know, again, as late as we are in this whole camp conversation, we're still really early in the season. We've not played a real game. They've not been, you know, defeated three or four times, and we're not on some losing streak. There's still time to figure this out. But I just want to know, Mike, who has, as far as the offense is concerned, right, who has picked this up? It's been a new system for both guys. Tua said, I'm still learning, and I feel like we're getting better every day. The reports today was he was better. Penix did his 7-on-7. But who has a real grasp of what they're wanting to do offensively?
Right.
And I, look, there are still things I think the coaching staff are like, okay, we have time to figure this out. And then you go from there. But I will say this. If Penix does start the season, and that would be great, does he hold on to this job?
Well, that's the other side of the equation. I mean, for all the guys out there, it's basically the two camps, obviously, Tua or Penix. Amazing support for Jack Stratt. He'll be in the second half. Everybody loves the backup. Big fella, the big galoot will be in there in the second half on Saturday night. Starters aren't going to play. But I'm with you. I mean, what if...
And I'm not being negative.
No, I mean,
Nelly negative.
But that's... But if you want to have a logical, fact-based conversation... You know, it can go one. I'm not saying two things can be true. One of two things can happen. It can go bad,
yes,
or it can go really well.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, you can, and this is not hating, so don't start crying, you softies out, freaking softies out there, bro. But anyway, it's, you could really use the 11-on-11 experience of having the Colts defense presenting looks at you,
yes,
in the scrimmage for Michael Penix to help Stefanski and co-evaluate him. But he couldn't do that.
No.
He's 7-on-7, where apparently he was some good and some bad.
All right, and overall, the defense played better today, which was great. I thought they did, you know, yesterday the reports were they didn't do well against the run. We heard those things, and today I think they did a lot better job. But that's what this is for, man. You're not going to be great every day. That's why you practice, and that's why you try to put it all together. And, you know, this whole phrase, Mike, we're stacking days, is real.
Right.
That you're trying to stack days so that, man, we can be consistent. And you know what? We can show up and make these plays that we need to make. But I thought both guys had moments here over the last couple of days. I just feel like Tua's getting more recognition because he's the presumed starter, and he is participating in 11-on-11, which means he's getting reps that Michael Penix isn't.
Right.
If Penix was getting that, then we could focus more on him. But we haven't been able to do that. And so that's part of this discussion as well. Guy hit me up. I love it. He goes, man, Tua is still blank. And I said, well, he beat us last year.
That's true.
So for whatever you think, man, like, and we asked him about that whole, you know, well, you remember last year coming in here? And he was like, man, any given Sunday. There is something to that. A quarterback who you don't think is any good or is it going through a tough stretch can all of a sudden look like a superstar,
right,
in this league. Everybody's got ability. But can you put it together and be consistent? And that's what we're waiting for from Michael Penix.
Right.
Really, that's the conversation, guys. He's got the ability. And I asked Mike earlier in the show, I said, do you believe that you know, when you look at him, is he that guy? And you said, I think he has potential. I think he's a good quarterback. I just don't know if he's going to be great. Right. And that is the one thing where you can say, well, yeah, he can make all the throws. But there's a lot of guys that come through this league and make all the throws.
Right. I mean, if ever I thought there was a guy that was going to be a solid number one, I'm perennial Pro Bowler, no doubt, it was Trevor Lawrence. And it's taken him a while.
You're right.
You know, it's and again, some of this goes back to what I said about Michael Penix Jr. earlier. It's not that Zach Robinson can't coach football, but he wasn't the right qualified guy to work with a rookie. And it was that's why they had to take forever to get him on the field the first year that Cousins started wobbling. Right, so Zach may be fine and in tune with Baker running that Rams playbook, but you didn't help. What did you do with him? Did you develop his play action ability? You know, and did you press him into stuff that he wasn't comfortable with? I don't think that was the case.
Okay, so do you remember? I know you do. When we had on what was it, the Raheem cut, Big O, where he said you do what guys are good at.
Yeah, I said, why don't we do more play action? Why isn't he under center? Specifically, we spent all last year. Why isn't Michael Penix Jr. under center more?
And I only bring that up to say, was Raheem wrong? Is this something that he may not just be good at? Now, he's denied that. We're talking about Michael Penix. He's denied that and said, I'll do whatever they want me to do. And then you go, well, then why did they ask you to do more of it?
Right.
But that gets back to, was the former coach lying about that?
Well, again, I mean, you brought a coach in that, you know, by the third week, the worst game that Michael Penix played, I need to be on the sideline. Well, you know, you probably should have started Michael Penix in the preseason. We've covered this. There were so many things that were wrong in how Raheem approached this.
By the way, do you know, I don't know if we've said this, coaches said Reese is going to be up in the booth.
Right.
He said that.
Right. That's where he is. Well, I mean, you will have Stefanski and Alex down there on the sideline, and Stefanski is a de facto OC, who I presume we'll work with. We're going to fight again, and we'll see how he runs it. But that's the thing, going back to, you know, to Penix, you know, they fired a guy that was on the offensive staff 3 weeks into the season. In a total, like, scapegoat mode, and apparently guys got disrespected, and instead of just letting things cool down, Reeves firing guys. You know, just the whole thing is just, guys, that's a blank show, okay? That's like right now Bill Belichick in North Carolina. It's a crap show.
Yeah, it's a lot going on.
You know, Kirk's comfortable up in the center. And that's what you do. You do what the quarterback can do.
That comment made us wonder, well, then does that mean that Michael Penix is not comfortable?
Right.
And look,
by inference, other guy wouldn't do it.
That's right.
Because he wasn't comfortable.
And so those are things that we'll figure out along the way. Here's a couple of tidbits for you guys. Falcons starting offense today scored a touchdown on his first drive in the red zone. Tua connects with Alamide Zaccheaus. He makes a catch over the middle. O-line held up. Those are the kind of things we want to hear out of these practices. Penix also on the first play in red zone, 7-on-7, throws a pass to Bijan for a touchdown. Great. Those are the things that we want to hear. And then he throws an interception. And I said on Twitter, where's the outrage? Because it's fake. You guys are either for or against one of the other guys, and you go off when one guy does well, and you kill the other guy when he doesn't. We just want the best situation for our team, whatever that's going to be. And if it's Michael Penix, I'll cheer like hell. But if it's Tua, I'll cheer like hell for him to make the right plays and lead us to victory. What's up, O?
No, what's crazy is as bad as Tua had a day yesterday, Penix's day wasn't great yesterday either.
Really?
It's completely overshadowed by the fact of what happened to Tua.
The interception.
But you read the tweets and stuff about, like, ball placement wasn't great yesterday for Mike. The 7-on-7 was a bit uneven, so
you're right.
It wasn't great for him yesterday either, but Tua throws one pick, he has one fumble, and all of a sudden the narrative changes. Nobody talks about what happened with Penix at all yesterday.
Well, that's probably also, too, due to the fact that no one's expecting Penix to win the job.
Right.
Everyone right now is expecting Tua to win the job.
But it's also because
he's not cleared.
But the media's not watching 7-on-7. They're watching the 11-on-11.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's a byproduct of this situation.
Yeah.
And the other thing, look, everybody's had a blooper moment in their NFL career. It's just that video that I retweeted it, and D-Leg goes, not a good look yesterday, where Tua literally, you know what it looks like? It almost looks like when Jameis gets his boys in the backyard,
and
Jameis Winston is doing one of those like drills. It's just like, Tua looked like a chicken with his head cut off, and he's running left, he's running right, and then he throws it into somebody's leg. He's like, that's what everybody around the country is seeing,
yeah.
and as are our listeners.
It's interesting. All right, here's the deal. Friday could be a good day, and I love Falcon fans. They better clear him.
Well,
okay.
Yeah,
what you going to do? You going to hold a knife to the doctor's throat? What are you saying? Come on.
It's almost like
you better clear him.
You know, the doctor is supposed to be objective, you know, like it used to be with, you know, the Fed or the attorney general. It's supposed to be objective, Carl. So we're going to see how this doctor rules on this. And hopefully that will be the news we're going to get. And everything's on pace. And Stefanski and Matt Ryan and Ian knew this all along. And we were chickens with our heads cut off, rolling around in this for like 2 months.
But here's my question, though. If the doctor already told him his knee is good and he's got this $1 million.
Won't ever have another problem.
So if the doctor's already told him that, then what exactly is being cleared?
His ability to go full bore.
Yeah. Okay.
That's so his ability to do
contact,
everything.
Perception of correct. Contact.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, y'all? The Falcons posted a video of Tua throwing a touchdown to Drake in that like red zone drill or whatever.
Yeah.
And you start reading the comments. Nothing about, oh, great, 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 great. It's horrible throw. Threw behind him. Horrible throw. Bad pass. Literally just bad pass.
Look.
Nothing positive about it.
Penix is. I said it. Holler at your boy. Penix is these guys. They will accept nothing other than Penix Jr.
Yeah.
You know, and that, the agendas vary, but that's their guy. And now we'll hopefully get a chance to see sooner or later. Because the last thing I wanted, and any fan, the idea of going through multiple quarterbacks in one season, because that is a recipe for garbage. Unless you're Alex Smith being spelled by Colin Kaepernick and you go all the way to the Super Bowl. It rarely happens. Or Phil Sims when Hostetler came in, right?
That's true.
Or Bob Greasy for Earl Morrill. Then back to Greasy. And I know some Dolphin fans are still wanting a little more Earl Morrill in there. But it rarely happens, is the point.
It's literally just bad throw. Bad throw. Didn't lead him. Behind him. Bad throw. Bad throw.
I saw the one. Drake saved his ass.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, Drake did come. You know, it's the kind of stuff that Julio would do, kind of whoop. You know, remember that play where Julio took it and ran? You know, that was awesome.
He went
awesome.
Over the top of Luke Kuechly.
So this is the one from today.
On a live drive. Okay. Yeah.
Those things happen. Guess what? That's what playmakers do.
Right.
Quarterbacks aren't going to be perfect every single time. You need guys that can make plays like that. But to your point, though, that is the bias that we're talking about. And I'm ready to be done with that. Let's get to making a decision and figuring this out. And then, by the way, here's the funny thing, Mike. If it's not the decision they want, they're not going to accept it.
Right.
That was a bad pass by Tua, but 6 points is 6 points. Lock in.
The comments.
All right, man. It's coming.
Hey, man.
It's coming. Now, again, please, doctor, please.
They better clear it.
You know, I mean, come on.
Okay.
I mean, as we said, guys ask us every freaking day. I ran into this guy, Lamar, who works for Georgia Crown. I was at Publix in Tyrone this week. He said, how's he look? I go, he looks fine. Yeah. He looks ready to go from my untrained eye, right? You said the same thing.
Yeah, I don't have any reason to doubt that he can do the things he needs to do. All right, we'll figure that out tomorrow. Big Friday show, man. Make sure you're here. A bunch of football guests as well, as we will head towards another weekend of a bunch of preseason games, learning more about all the teams around the league. More on college football as we're counting down, guys. Next Saturday, not this Saturday, next Saturday we get real college football. And then it is on a bunch of games leading into Labor Day.
Yeah.
So we're here. All right, well, Chris is coming up. He's got a short show because we got Corky Kell tonight. It will start around 7:20-ish, 7:30 or so. So Decatur and Blessed Trinity is right. That's who it is tonight. And so stay tuned for that. But Chris has got a short show. He'll pick things up here.
Day. 41.5, over under?
We don't do that. Stop it.
What?
Would
you stop it? Let's get out of here, man, and clear our throat. Oh! Hey, thanks to all of our guests today. D-Led joined us. He had some interesting things to say as he helped us break down yesterday's practice. Tomorrow, our buddy Daniel Flick's going to stop by from the AJC to help us break down what he saw today, and maybe we get some news. Make sure you're here at 2 tomorrow. Big O behind the glass. Great job as always. Day-Day executive producing. And thank you guys for making us a part of your day. We appreciate it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, the joint practice phenomenon has always been around the NFL, but it really has clicked into high gear when they went to a 3-game preseason. Coaches want to have more opportunity to have some real game scenarios, and that's why you have them. But the Cowboys and Saints, he was swinging on cuz. The NFL drops a $500,000 fine for both teams in practice. That seems a bit much. I guess they're trying to send the message. Saquon Barkley was asked, how do you like joint practices? He goes, I hate joint practices. Because people start shoving, egos get involved, and we spend half the time separating guys. So I don't think it's going to go away, but the NFL is definitely watching them closely.
Can you imagine if he was a killer? I mean, really, how many rings would he have? I'm talking about James Harden, who just signed another 3-year, $97 million extension to stay with the Cavaliers. Guys, he's second all-time in career three-point field goal percentage. Field goals made. He enters the season number 9 on the NBA's career point list. We know LeBron took that from Kareem. What I'm telling you is he's always been able to score, but his desire to put teams away in the playoffs when it matters most and be a killer has never been there. I don't know if there's another player who stole more money in the NBA than James Harden.
You're here.
If you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't,
you ordered Carl a Harden jersey.